Now to the Supreme Court and a decision today about what's been called racial gerrymandering. That's assigning citizens to districts on the basis of race without good reason. The case was over district maps in Texas. They were redrawn after the 2010 census. And in a 5-4 ruling written by conservative Justice Samuel Alito, the court upheld all but one of those Texas districts, even though a lower court had said the districts discriminated against Black and Hispanic voters. Joining us with more is Emily Bazelon, staff writer at the New York Times Magazine. She's also a fellow at Yale Law School. Hi there, Emily.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about these districts specifically. So after the 2010 census, Texas redrew several of its districts because population growth there. But much of that growth was due to an increase in Black and Hispanic residents. So how were these districts initially drawn up?
Well, you're right. So Texas initially drew the districts in 2011 after the census. Then a court stepped in and said that they'd been drawn with discriminatory intent, that they were either packing Latino voters to diminish their influence or spreading them out too much. This like phrase of packing or cracking that comes up a lot in these gerrymandering cases. So then the court offered an interim plan. The legislature mostly adopted that plan. And then the court came back in 2017 and said, actually, that plan doesn't cure the problem of discrimination we saw originally. We want you to go back to the drawing board. And so that's what we're arguing over here.
I see. So again, the majority opinion today written by Justice Alito, what was the court's justification in upholding these districts then?
It's a pretty technical opinion and kind of grounds for objecting. Justice Alito says that the Texas court got the standard of proof wrong. There's a lot of lower courts doing it wrong recently from the Supreme Court, especially in these gerrymandering cases. And here Alito said that it wasn't on the state to prove that it had cured this kind of taint of discriminatory intent, that actually the challengers, the plaintiffs, should have always had the burden of proof. That was Alito's justification.
Okay, so very technical, as you said, then.
Indeed.
But then, and Justice Sonia Sotomayor writes the dissent. What's her argument?
Her argument is that this whole kind of burden of proof is really like a dead end, not really what was going on in these cases, and that Justice Alito is cherry picking the facts to make it seem as if these legislative districts were drawn in a way that didn't diminish the influence of these minority voters, that he's wrong about that. And that, you know, really, I think what Sotomayor is trying to put her finger on here is, look, we have these maps that were drawn. There was a lot of very careful fact finding by the district court, and the district court found that they were discriminating against Latino voters. And yet, because of today's opinion, these maps will remain in place for one more election in 2018.
Okay, so Emily, let's just take a step back here for a second, because a lot of people were looking at this raft of gerrymandering cases that the court was taking a look at this session as, you know, potentially game changers here. But the Supreme Court basically punted on two of those cases last week. They upheld congressional maps in North Carolina. And now we have this Texas ruling. So overall, what is the court saying about gerrymandering in U.S. congressional districts?
Yeah, no game changing. You're right. The expectations about that have just like plummeted through into the basement. It's not happening. Instead, we have the Supreme Court upholding maps, basically across the board, maps that heavily favor Republicans. They were drawn in some cases for that partisan intent. That's the Wisconsin case, the North Carolina case. And in the Texas case, we have this slightly different question of racial gerrymandering. The upshot of all of this politically, pragmatically, is that these maps that favor Republicans will remain in place in 2018 for the midterms.
Well, Emily Bazelon is staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and also a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.